father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Moon wing of the Democratic Party is firmly in control. Now, that's great for the Republican Party, but it's bad for America. These people are deeply weird. For example, no honest person whose IQ is above his age doesn't believe that that biological sex doesn't exist, but they do. That's what I mean when I say they're deeply weird. Our Republican secret plan for dealing with the Democrats is called Operation Let Them Speak, but. That's good for our party, but it's bad for America.
Senator Kennedy, Operation Let Them Speak, Let Them Talk, Let Them Cook, as they say. The Democrats have not figured out, we've talked about this, seems like a lot this week, haven't figured out a unifying message. They don't have a unification across their party. And I'm going to be honest, they don't really need to have that right now. They will soon. They will need to get their act together before the midterms happen if they hope to stop Donald Trump in his tracks at all. I remember being after Joe Biden won, I remember the Republicans kind of tugging and pulling at what direction that the party needed to go. And there were differing sides, and that this is the time for them to have it out as close to the election as they can, to have it out, to talk about their differences, and to figure out where the majority of their electorate actually is, and listen to them. I think that's the part they haven't quite figured out yet, is how to listen to the people who don't like Trump, but also don't like the Republican way of doing things. Is it the Chuck Schumer, as he told us on The View, that if you want a fighter for government, somebody who's going to protect government and make sure that it stays intact and is big and is strong, Chuck Schumer's your guy. I don't know that that's not the message of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think maybe she would like, I don't even know what she would want. It's just like far left progressivism. I mean, it's really socialism that they want to see this country head in. But for the Republicans who want to point at the Democrats and laugh because they're in disarray, this is when they're going to have to work through it, and it's going to be messy. And we just don't usually get to see the Democrats having to work through this. They're much better at keeping it behind closed doors in years past, because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have been able to keep it behind closed doors. They're really old.
Yeah.
They are really out of touch with the younger part of their party that has years of experience now being in elected position, speaking for a generation that they're far removed from. So it's, I think, a very natural thing for the Democrats to go through this. They are going to evolve from it. The question will be, what is the message that they take out of it? But I think Senator Kennedy there is right. Let him speak.
Used to have somebody for the last 20 years-ish who would kind of corral at least the elected leaders. They might have differing opinions, but ultimately there was kind of somebody leading the charge. That would have been Nancy Pelosi, maybe Chuck Schumer on the Senate side, definitely Obama. That person just doesn't exist right now, and so it looks a lot more like a tantrum than it used to. It used to look like really righteous anger, despite whether you agree with it or not. It just doesn't look organized now.
Because they used to advocate for the little guy. They used to advocate for the blue-collar worker. They used to advocate for the middle-class American. Now, they advocate against Trump. That's it. That's all they have.
Yeah, and they are picking issues over and over and over that even the moderate Democrats have to go, you know what, I'm not really even on board with that. You know, deporting illegal gang members isn't the issue that you're supposed to take a stand on. You might say, well, I don't like the process, but to make that big of a deal out of some of these things, they're just miscalculating.
Well, that's the thing I've been noticing is when the Trump administration picked their battles, they picked their battles with 80-20 issues. They said, hey, let's cut 80/20. Government.
80-20. Bingo card.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've heard people start saying 90-10 now.
90-10.
I'm like, okay. 91-9.
But, you know, let's cut waste. Let's cut fraud out of the federal government. Let's reduce the size. That's something that everybody likes. And he got the Democrats to come out in opposition to it, not only in opposition to it, to like file lawsuits to try to stop him from doing it. Trinidad Argua, whatever that is.
TDA.
TDA. trying to get bad Venezuelan gang members out of the United States. Who are the Democrats going to court to defend right now? Venezuelan gang members. It's brilliant because they're starting the battle there. And then, to Senator Kennedy's point, you just let them talk. Do your thing. Defend those people. He got them to flip on a green EV company. And not only flip on it, actively destroying their property, private property of people who are actually on their side, because I'm certain there are more liberals that own Teslas than there are conservatives, and then going after like dealerships and stuff like that. It's wild. It's brilliant. So yeah, let them do their thing. Let them talk.
A lot of the fallout from canceling the Department of Education, a lot of people, first of all, think that who was in charge of the Department of Education in Biden's administration? Who was that?
I don't remember.
Must not have done a good job. Let's blame Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
whoever it was. When you heard about education from the Biden administration, it was usually Randy Weingarten, who is a the head of the union, one of the teachers' unions. But the idea that you have like the people from the Department of Education actually spoon feeding lunches to children across America is not that's not happening. It's not going to happen anymore because the Department of Education is gone. But it also never happened before. That's not how things were dispersed. Trump has spoken on the issue and he has a plan for the services that had been supervised, managed, regulated or provided by the Department of Education.
But the department's useful functions and such as and they're in charge of them, Pell Grants, Title I funding, resources for children with disabilities and special needs will be preserved, fully preserved. They're all going to be so. If you look at the Pell Grants, supposed to be a very good program, Title I funding and resources for children with special disabilities and special needs, they're going to be preserved in full and redistributed to various other agencies and departments that will take very good care of them. And it's very important to Linda, I know, and it's very important to all of us. But beyond these core necessities, my administration will take all lawful steps to shut down the department. We're going to shut it down and shut it down as quickly as possible. It's doing us no good. We want to return our students to the states where just some of the governors here are so happy about this. They want education to come back to them, to come back to the states, and they're going to do a phenomenal job.
So he's listing off, you know, Pell Grants is something I've heard people talking about here as well. Special needs, that's certainly, it's just very, it's gross, it's offensive to hear people on the left who know better pretend as though special needs education is going to no longer be met. The advocacy of that is using special needs kids for a political end. That's gross. It's disgusting. And here we are. These things are still intact and going to be overseen. They're going to be overseen by agencies that already have a toe, a foot, you know, a head first dive into these areas. And the states are going to have more say over how education is handled. Now, if you're in the state of Illinois and you're looking at this past week, thinking about how they've handled things, you might go, crap. Guess what? You can change your local government a lot faster with a lot more effect than you can change your federal government. You have the say in federal government in one representative, one senator, and they represent the senator represents, of course, the entire state. When you have a House representative and you have a state senator, both in the state legislature, you know where their office is right now. And the farthest they're going to get from you is Springfield. Just yesterday, and this week, we've been able to witness people from all over the state of Illinois flood the rotunda at the Capitol to say, hell no, you're not going to regulate my homeschooling, my private school education, my children like this. You're not going to create laws that say that, you know, if these regulations aren't met or if they're, especially when it comes to truancy, folks, call your local school districts and ask how they handle truancy. It's a huge problem. They're not even allowed to enforce it in a lot of cases. Right on the other side of the river. They don't do anything, but they're going to show up on your homeschool porch to make sure that things are going the way they want them to. Get your own house in order before you start coming into the houses of homeschoolers. If you want to see, in effect, what local government has to face when people don't like what they're doing, are you going to send all those people into the Capitol in Washington, D.C. to affect this type of outcome? You have real tangible ways of enforcing your thought, your opinion, and making it be known and heard in a way when it's local government that you cannot effectively do the same when it's your federal government. The federalism that is employed here benefits you at the most local level. Special needs, still going to be met. Special education, Pell Grants, student loan supervision, school lunches. There's nobody who is not getting a school lunch provided today that was yesterday. That is not going to be taken away from anyone. That is not going to change at all. Breakfasts, lunches. I think, is it possible it's connected to SNAP? I don't know. But the free lunch program that was expanded to have a free breakfast program so that these kids get to eat, maybe those are the only two meals they eat a day, still happening. And the people who are trying to shove, you know, faux hungry kids in front of your eyeballs and special need kids and saying they're not going to be educated anymore aren't paying attention to what's actually happening. And they're using those children because they hate Trump that much. What an existence. What a miserable existence that is.
I mean, you just summed up the border argument of the last 5 years, too. Beyond that.
Anything.
Any
Democrat
policy. You
can
apply anything to it.
You got to open your eyes. Do you really think Donald Trump doesn't care about hungry children? He cares more about hungry American children than any president that's probably been alive in my lifetime, because he's trying to make this country a prosperous one once again. When we're looking at Doge, when we're looking at USAID, when we're looking across the world about your taxpayer dollars that are just being shoveled out the window to help whatever cause it is that they can make look super rosy with a pretty red bow on top and say, how could you stop doing that? Meanwhile, we have hungry kids. Meanwhile, we have homeless vets. Meanwhile, we have people who are out in the streets right now, coked out or drugged out or whatever. They need a massive amount of help. They need the assistance of their communities to make sure that the communities stay safe and that they can try to get back on some sort of independent way of living with the help of their community. All of these different needs that are right here in our own borders. That's America first. The money is being spent. You don't care about the money that's being shipped out of the country to help what? Iranian children get Sesame Street or Iraqi children or whatever it was. Condoms going to Mozambique or whatever it is. You care about that when that's the news, the big headline, because you think it craps on Donald Trump. All you care about is Donald Trump. You care about Donald Trump in a way that no MAGA supporter could ever care about Donald Trump. You need Donald Trump more than any three-time Donald Trump supporter and voter could ever need Donald Trump. You crave and obsess over Donald Trump more than any red hat that you walk into in Walmart could ever obsess over Donald Trump. You need him. You want him. You have to have him. And now you've got him. And you don't know what to do with it. You've caught the car. I like it. I don't have anything else. That's pretty much it. I'm good for the day.
I was actually just timing that out to be like, that's about three or four promos right there. Probably get a lot out of that.
You should do it again, but in my voice, and then you could double it.
Okay. Or I'll add this to the end of it right there.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Well, we could play the music and go to a break.
We could. That would be one thing we could do. I have nothing to add either. It's just, you just look around and you go, man, I wish it weren't just
slow jam.
Look, let's get real for a second.
What is this?
Low by Cracker?
I wish I were crying about something. Pretend to be a sad Trump-hating liberal right now.
No.
Yeah,
I'm sad because of the I'm sad because of the monologue you just gave. I'm like, man, I wish that people just step aside for a second.
What song is this?
Realize that things aren't as bad as they seem. I don't know. This is Low by Cracker?
That's
this is like
what it says.
A long intro that I've never heard
before.
Can
you take this off and do Get Low? Ethan, it's Friday, man. He's gone.
This isn't even that song. This is like a wrong file or something. He might have thought he was uploading Low by Cracker.
I've got Get Low by Lil Jon.
Do it.
Let's shift gears here.
I don't. Is this we might need to go to a break fast. I hear these songs. I love them. They remind me of my youth. And I'm like, well, this is not for my children to hear. There you go.
Yeah.
Next question. Ask us anything when we come back. Now, this sounds like a Friday, doesn't it? We'll be right back.
At the corner place, hand on Wednesday, and there's karaoke. Where I'll be, 'cause I only drink on days that end in Y. I'm always down for another round on any given night. Ain't gonna save it for the weekend. I'm jumping off the deep end. 7 days a week, I'm a good time. 'Cause I only drink on days that end in
Y. Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
So it's time to answer your questions here on the segment. Next question. We take whatever you want to know and we ask it and we try to do our best to answer it. Brad, why don't you go first this time?
All right. So follow me here. If you could take one politician just out of it and just remove them from their position, set them off to the side and out of everybody's memory and mind, which politician would it be?
What? Make a politician disappear?
Yeah.
Make a politician disappear.
Yeah.
And nobody ever could remember
them? Right, they don't remember them.
Nothing? Just, oh, man.
Just undo everything that they've done.
Who would you pick, Brad?
I've got J.B. Pritzker in mind. I think that that guy has been just absolutely devastating for the state of Illinois. And if I could just pluck him out of there and never have had happen what he did and is doing to our state, I would be quite happy.
Does it have to be somebody current?
No.
Or just anybody ever?
You can go back through history. Lincoln?
Oh, no. I'm going Benjamin Harrison.
Go on. Tell us why.
I can't.
Because you've forgotten all about him.
Yeah. It worked. It worked. I would say, well, there's a couple of different options to this question because the first one that came to mind isn't a politician, but he's very political. And actually, he was... I think he was a Clinton appointee for something.
Go for it.
But his name is Robert Reich. Okay. You probably have seen this guy online.
Mm-hmm.
He comes across with the air. He doesn't have that much authority, which is why I wouldn't pick him. But he comes across with this air of superior intellect about economics. But it is the most brain dead, idiotic crap. It's like you went to a college class and everything you pictured them teaching every college kid in the last two decades is what it boils down to Robert Reich's economics. He's just awful. But he gives you just enough authority to feel like you understood why whatever current policy that Trump is doing is bad. That guy just drives me nuts.
I'd probably say AOC and I don't even need to explain it. It's
yeah.
super annoying.
Yeah.
We have... annoying people on our side too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But they're on my side, so I don't mind.
Yeah, you know, they can stick around for a little bit.
I don't like pay a lot of attention to them, but
yeah.
she's just. I don't listen to anything she has to say. Her presentation is not for me. Goodbye. Next question.
What's your favorite board game ever? Either now or ever, you know, that you ever really enjoyed.
Sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
I know.
Trouble, that's what you are.
Are you hitting on me? Sorry, no.
He's got game. What time is it?
I don't think he has game.
It's Wiggins time.
No, I love Sorry. And we take Sorry, and in Sorry, there are four colors, red, green, yellow, blue. And so sometimes we'll play with four people in our family. But my husband and I, before kids, would play Sorry, and you have two colors. So you get opposing colors, so you have eight pawns that you have to get home, and we deal out cards. Instead of drawing them, you get five cards and you get to play cards that way. It's fun. It's really, we don't get mad at each other, but we are both very competitive.
I hate board games, but there's one board game that it's the only board game I've ever really had fun playing, and it was called Pandemic. And yeah,
not a game.
In 2020?
Yeah. It was prior to, and so we haven't played it since.
You ever played Pit?
I don't think so.
They have there's not really a board, but I would still classify it as a board game. It's so fun. There's a bell, and it's supposed to simulate like the stock market. So if the three of us, let's get Ethan in here, and if the four of us are playing, you deal out maybe seven cards. It might be less than that, but you deal out seven cards, and like some of the cards say corn on them, some of it say wheat. There's all these different things. And what you have to do is try to get all your cards be the same. So I'll say, I've got three. Because maybe I have three corn cards in my hand, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to get wheat, and I've got four wheat. So I'll say, I've got three, and I can exchange three of the same kind. And if you say, you've got three, then you and I just switch our cards real quick.
Okay.
But it's just a bunch of yelling. It's so funny.
Oh, there's nobody's taking turns. You just go.
It's like you deal out the cards. Everybody ready? Yes. And so everyone's like, I got two. I got one. I got. And you have to obviously trade equal card numbers in the stack.
It's called Pit.
And it's a two drink game, and you will have the best time of your life.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Has anybody ever played Scotland Yard? Board game?
No.
I have heard of that. I think my wife has played that.
It's a weird game that was an early adopters kind of like off the grid game even the people who are really into board games now don't play it as much. I always had a lot of fun playing that, but my favorite one was Stratego.
Oh, Stratego.
Played that in high school a lot with a couple friends of mine. That was sometimes our weekends. We'd get together and just do Stratego and weird stuff, Nerf Wars, stuff like that.
My question is, do you guys use pet names in your house?
Hun, maybe.
Really?
I don't know if I use a lot of them, though.
I told you guys the inside scoop on my husband's pet name for me, which is Deer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's...
And I've told him this, so I'm not telling stories out of school, so to speak. But when my husband says Deer, in my head, I think he's really just calling me the B word. Like, if I'll be like... Jared, did you take the trash out? Because we're like in a hustle. We'd be like, I did, Dear.
Do you know for sure that he's not using it that way? Did you ask him?
I told him and he laughed.
So he is.
He didn't say no. And I told my sister-in-law that. They live in Florida. And I was like, when my husband calls me, I think my husband's brother said Dear in the same way. And I just said to her quietly, when we were at my mother-in-law's house one time, I was like... When my husband says Dear to me like that, I'm pretty sure he's calling me a witch. And she's like, I could totally see that. But it's like he doesn't call me any sort of pet names, but when he's like, I got it, Dear, it's like, it doesn't seem affectionate.
It's punctuation.
Yeah, it's punctuation. That's exactly right. But other than that, we're not.
What about your kids? Do you use names for your kids? Nicknames or pet names?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have different names for all of them. Jensen's Jenny Joe. I call Evelyn EVG. Her middle name's Grace. Molly May.
Pet names for your pets, too, right?
No, I call them John.
Both of them. Even though that's not their name, that is a pet name.
I usually want them both, so it's just easier.
John!
Hey, John. Come on. Oh, my gosh. I don't know who this is. But they said Jared equals Chief. I do not call Jared Chief, but we were at a Pizza Hut in Little Rock one time, and this male waiter didn't give anybody a nickname except for my husband, and the nickname was Chief. And we were all, I was looking at Jared like, and he's like, what? I was like, he's got a name for you, bud.
Do you remember, this was probably a year and a half ago, you were in a Mexican restaurant, you. And I was not in that Mexican restaurant, but somebody I knew was in it, sitting right by you.
Yeah.
But you didn't know who they were. And so they texted me, hey, I'm sitting right next to Annie Fry. And I was like,
oh,
yeah.
Do I know this person?
No, you don't know them.
They just recognize me?
But they recognize you.
That's scary.
And so they texted me, hey, I'm sitting right next to Annie Fry.
And you texted me like, I see you.
I started texting you like, I see you. And you're like, what? I'm like, Jensen just got up to go to the bathroom.
This was years ago.
I was not there, but I thought, I said, keep telling me what she's doing, and I'll pretend like I'm watching her.
Do you know how creepy that is? Who was it? What's the first name of the person you were talking to?
I don't know if I should say. We'll say it's
was it my
John.
Dad? It was my dad, wasn't it? I was at Zapata's
with
him.
You didn't know it was him.
He's sitting right next to you. Yeah.
He's like, let's screw with Annie again. You're like, okay,
We're having a good time.
Pet names, Brad?
Not really. Sometimes whenever I'm messing with Terry, I'll call her Terrence because she doesn't have it. She doesn't have a full name. Like, Terry is her full name.
Uh-huh.
And so she get mad at me.
She has
like,
a full name, Brad.
It's just Terry.
She doesn't have a full name.
So I call her Terry
name.
By her full name
you should
all
call
the time.
Her Bradshaw.
But whenever she calls me Bradley, I have to respond with something, so I call her Terrence.
Does she like that?
Yeah, she laughs.
Okay.
Sonny is the bun. Sonny Bun. And then my son is Bub, but apparently a lot of people call their son Bub.
Yeah.
Because hey, I hear Bub. That. Yeah, people yell that at sports events and stuff. I'm like, hey, that's my son.
You say, hey, Bub, and seven kids turn around and go, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Bobo wants to know, who do you look up to?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Brad?
Gosh, I don't even know how to follow that. I was hoping I'd have more time to think of who it is. My dad. My dad is who I would have to say. He worked really hard, and he set an example of what hard work looks like to me. So,
you ever look up to someone who's younger than you?
I don't think so.
Maybe. I'm not
saying it's impossible. I can't think of it.
I don't. Yeah, it's just like I know that I admire people that are younger than me.
I did think of somebody.
And
Ethan.
But it's weird.
Really respect him.
It's weird to think of it as looking up to them, but it's like having a great admiration and respect for people. So
I look up to my parents. My dad was in radio before I was. I think I looked up to him a lot because of that. Patient. He's incredibly patient. More patient than he really needs to be.
Well, fine. I'll say my dad, too, then.
I thought you were going to say my dad. I think you missed an opportunity there.
I should have.
I will also say that I look up to my husband because, you know, people are all different we're all different kinds of people. I am super type A, hyper analytical, by default, super uptight. By practice, I've tried to soften myself quite a bit to that. But he's just a really, really nice, kind person. And I can be that, but I have to work to be that. I have to think about it. And he just is default that. And I think that's incredible. So I'd say him as well. Next question.
Do you
have the time?
Have the time.
To listen to me whine. Do you?
I do not. Do you ever open your spouse's mail or packages? Do you think it's appropriate to?
I open everything.
Do you?
He would never do it. He doesn't. I hate the mail. We don't get the mail. When we drive by and the mailbox can't close anymore, we go get the mail if we notice it.
For me, it's if it's a letter or something with my wife's name, I'll open that because it's probably a bill or something that nobody cares about. But if it's a package, it's something she probably ordered, and she'll get mad at me because it's like she misses out on the opportunity to open the package.
If my husband had something shipped to him and it was to him, I wouldn't open it unless I was 100% certain I knew what it was because he never orders anything. Yeah. I order everything, and he doesn't open my stuff.
And we've never had that conversation, but I realized the other day that we have this unspoken rule that if a package comes in the mail and it's got the other person's name on it, we won't touch it. We'll just leave it for that person.
Yeah. Well, there's one time that I opened up. He got me a Mickey waffle maker. Make 6 Mickey waffles at a time. I love it. He got it for me, but I think when he bought it, he might have bought it on my account. So it came shipped to me and I opened it and I was like,
Whoops.
So for that particular reason, I would not want to open stuff just in case it was a surprise. Let it be the surprise that it needs to be.
Most of everything that we have shipped to us is in my wife's name anyway. Her name's on the Amazon Prime account, et cetera, et cetera. So generally, I'll open anything that comes in. unless we start getting close to like birthdays, anniversaries, or Christmas, and then I'll ask before I do it because I don't want to ruin any surprises.
Next question.
Okay. When was the last time you received a genuine compliment on your looks by somebody who isn't your spouse or relative?
Well, you must have something in mind.
So tell your story, Brad.
Go ahead.
Well, the reason I thought
I was at the gym.
No. The reason I thought about this was I got a haircut, and the lady cutting my hair was complimenting my beard.
Oh, like, okay.
But when she did that, it stood out to me because I couldn't think of, prior to that, I couldn't think of the last time somebody did anything like that. And
but
I
isn't
was just,
it, like, when you're, let's just be real, when we're old and married, why would people that aren't related to you be complimenting your looks?
I don't know. It just happens.
To you all the time. When was the last time you were flattered?
I really can't remember. I can't. There was something. Oh, yeah. There was something just last weekend that this dude stood up and I almost said out loud, "Man, you are ripped." But I didn't. I'm glad I didn't.
Bro,
that would have been a little odd.
It, though.
But he would. I know he would have. I can't remember where we were. We were probably at one of the theme parks we were at last weekend. But this dude got up and it was like, I realized all of a sudden the guy sitting in front of me was 8 feet tall. This guy was a giant. And he was clearly at the gym right before that. Because that dude was ripped.
People
do
say,
you tell somebody that, though? I mean, really?
There's a bro code there that I don't have any
I don't know of. Either. I don't know what it is. Do you tell a guy that?
Well, not like, dude, you are ripped.
That's what I would have done.
But it's okay to say something, but it's got to be the right way.
Okay.
What is the right way?
Yeah, what's the right way?
Man, you tell them you look like they're working hard at the gym, keep up the good work, that sort of thing. Encouragement rather than compliment, but then they know that you noticed, and it does mean something.
Don't you have to be in a position to encourage?
No.
I feel like anybody can compliment. I don't need somebody being like, and again, you guys are talking about dudes, so it's a whole different world. But if somebody came up to me and was like, you look like you've been working really hard at the gym, keep up the good work, I would be offended.
Really?
Oh, God, yes.
Huh.
This is why I don't compliment women.
That's a smart move.
Yeah,
it doesn't
I
make
just kind of don't.
Sense.
Especially now. What do you need out of it?
Because every woman who hears that would be thinking about not muscles and building muscle, but losing weight. And if it's like, oh, I've noticed that this is what women hear. You used to be fatter. You better keep working.
Yeah. This is
There's still some work to do.
This is what women hear, but it isn't what's being said.
Which is why it shouldn't be.
So it doesn't get said.
So you don't walk past a woman and be like, loving that flat stomach there, June.
June. You know, if your name is June right now, you're either 92 or 5 because that was grandma's name and that's adorable.
So either way.
June is a great name.
Yep.
I'm trying to find this on X because people say some super weird things to me on X, and I would assume that the inclination to comment on a female's looks on social media might be a little bit more frequent. That does anyone ever compliment or has anyone ever comment on either of your looks on social media?
No.
No.
Would you want them to?
I can't imagine it being positive. I mean,
what?
Who's going to look at a guy's picture who's 42 and be like,
but that's the point. That's
hey,
what I'm saying,
is,
though.
This is all right.
Well, what if they're like 7 foot tall and ripped?
What?
And they told me I was having a good day at the gym? Yeah, yeah, maybe. You get comments a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm 50% plus nice comments. I can't find this one, and I wanted to read it verbatim so that I could.
What the, so half of them are positive and the other half are like, what's up, dog pound? I mean, are they negative?
Dog pound? Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
This one person, and I can't find it verbatim, I might find it later, said, I just told my husband that Annie has to have at least $20,000 of Botox in her face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And somebody just, this isn't anybody who, these are just randos.
I do not know. They got like 47 followers.
You have enough followers that you probably do have a lot of randos.
Is that an insult or a compliment? Because do you know how many dollars of fillers and Botox I have in my face?
I'm going to guess it's zero.
$0. I have no work done on my face. And maybe we're getting to the time where maybe I should have a little something something. I'm not like thinking about it. But if someone's like, she's got $20,000 of work done to her face.
That's probably a compliment. I think so.
I love that you're like, that's total flattery. I would take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I think I would. $20,000.
I mean, expensive work.
Does it depend on the dollar amount? But if it was, because if
I
it
don't
was
know.
Like,
I've never had work done about, like that.
About 2G of Botox. You know, like sounds like
from a back alley.
Yeah.
In.
You know? Like, but if it's a higher amount, you
right.
go. Oh,
you
maybe.
Went to high quality doctor.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
How are you taking it?
I thought it was funny. I don't care what they think about my face. My face is my face. One day it'll be all wrinkly and squished and well-loved, mm-hmm. and I have laugh lines, and that's because I laughed.
Yeah, 10 years, you look like Mickey Rooney. You just did this with your face. You just went like that. That's what I thought of, was Mickey Rooney.
Let's take a break. I got to kill Ryan. We'll be right
that's
back.
Fair. That's fair. Okay. Bet that middle bar stool's where I'll
be. This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe. This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Check my pockets, final news in open boxes. How to clean out stain from carpet. Everybody smokes and steals from Target. Dog day after.
Never heard that song before.
I don't know any of these songs.
Where is it coming from?
I like how on this show we're like, we don't know that song. Play Get Low. Play it again, Sam.
What was that? What? Have you ever heard that song?
It's called What a Coward by Phone Boy.
Ah, Phone Boy.
They're not even getting creative with their names anymore. What should we call him? I don't know. He's on the phone.
What do you like doing?
Come here, Phone Boy.
I like looking at apps. Okay, let's call it App Band.
I like looking at apps. There's Phone Boy and there's Apps Man. Are you an apps man? Yes, no? Don't answer that. I don't know.
I was trying to come up with a pun that would be the opposite.
No. No. Next question?
Next question.
Did you have one? You said you guys
yeah,
said you had one.
I can ask one. Are you better with names or faces?
More of an apps man. There it is. I knew it'd come along eventually.
I'd know her anywhere.
I remember her.
What about him?
No. No, I only notice when a dude's super ripped and giant.
Yeah. You guys spent most of the last segment talking about ripped dudes and nerding out on it.
Yeah.
Not names for me. Maybe faces, I guess. I'm just bad at all the short-term memory stuff.
What was the question again?
Are you better with names or faces?
Faces. For sure.
Yeah, same.
Isn't everybody, though?
Now, some people are really good with names.
That doesn't mean they're bad with faces. You know?
Yeah, but they might be better with names.
Maybe we should take these calls.
Did you
What's your
win?
Favorite Collective yeah. Soul song, sir? Are you an apps man? Total apps man. If your personality was a dog breed, what would you be? I feel like you got to know a lot about dog breeds.
Oh, this is a listener question? Yeah, I'm trying to picture, because I'm not a St. Bernard. I had one of those.
Okay, let's cross that one off the list. Now let's go with the rest of them.
Lhasa Apso.
That's what I was thinking.
Were you?
Yeah, or a Shih Tzu.
Yeah, cross that with a poodle.
Shoodle. Brad?
Oh, man.
I hope Steve's not listening.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening.
If I had to guess, I would say I'd be mostly a bulldog. Just kind of...
Cross that with a Shih Tzu.
Yeah. I got one of those.
Do you?
Yeah, that's what my dog is.
Okay. I'd be a Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
Yeah. Loyal. Mm-hmm. Hardworking. But also into napping. And at least a part Australian. Not sure which part. Here's a good one from Andy. If you suddenly had to change your first name, what would you choose?
Probably something really cool.
I always really liked the name Julia. And thought about naming our daughter. We've had three of them. Thought about Julia as a first name. It's a pretty name.
Probably choose Dirk.
Dirk?
Yeah.
How would you spell it?
D-I-R-K.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel
what
like...
What does Dirk give?
Tell you exactly what he gives. He gives air ammo through his finger guns to everybody he meets.
I feel like your microphone is quiet.
I do too. I don't know why.
And like, it's just, your microphone's even not interested. Like, maybe we should tone this down a little bit. Is there a way to solve this problem?
I don't know.
Brad?
Maybe just speak directly into it louder.
This one's
Dirk.
This one's difficult. Maybe Grant.
D-U-R-K.
Grant.
People online are trying to figure out how to spell Dirk in any other way. Grant?
Grant.
That's
Grant.
Just a normal name.
Yeah.
It'd be like if I said Craig.
Why Grant? Why are you a Grant?
There was a kid who rode the bus whenever I was driving school buses, and he, you know, had a lot of special issues and special needs, and he was just always a
and
positive.
His name wasn't Grant.
His name was Grant, and he was a very positive and happy kid.
That's a nice story.
Well, that was very sweet, Brad.
Yeah, let's go back to Phone Boy.
The music.
X's and O's next with the Tittamore Group. It's got to be better than this.